My message is the promised Messiah. The Messiah was promised to the world. It was promised and a Savior to save mankind. Now, right from the beginning, where our two forefathers, Adam and Eve, were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God's been trying to redeem and get back that fellowship with us. But he needed a Messiah, a Savior, a promise. And the Old Testament is full of promises of the Redeemer, the Messiah, to come. Hundreds of Old Testament scriptures talk about it. Starting in Genesis, where it says that he will bruise your heel, and he, with the big H, that's Jesus, will crush his head. You know who that is. Can't wait for that one. Aren't you? How many of you love snakes? I don't. mice and rats, even worse. But snakes are second. Crush them, I see. And it will happen. All the way to the book of Zechariah. And so the Old Testament filled with hundreds of the promised Messiah, the Savior to come and save Israel. And John the Baptist, let's turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 7 to 15. And let's hear what Jesus, you know, yes, the Old Testament was pointing to the Messiah that's coming, this Jesus that was coming. But Jesus himself speaks in these words. Matthew 11, verse 7 to 15. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. This is John the Baptist. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Well, what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. This is from the lips of Jesus Christ, the Savior. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets, all the Old Testament, and all the law prophesied until John the Baptist, till this day. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I can just imagine Jesus saying that to the Jewish congregation that came to hear him that day. They knew the scriptures. They had been taught in Sunday school, in their church, about the promised Messiah. All those scriptures they would have had. They would have grown up in church hearing about the Messiah. And let me tell you, they needed a Messiah. This was under the thumb of Rome they were under. What a difficult government. We think we have it difficult. You haven't tried a Caesar. Wow. And they had, you know, series of the Babylonian capture and Medo-Persians and you name it. They've had experience, the Jewish people, with being under the thumb of someone, some government somewhere. And here they were under another one, crying out, I can imagine, God, where are you? Where is the promised Messiah that needs to come and save us? Wow. And then when Jesus goes and says, this prophet, and by the way, the last prophecy or prophet would have been 400 years before that. Quiet years. And all of a sudden, this John the Baptist comes out dressed in camel's hair and eating wild honey and locusts. He was a weirdo. He would have been quite the sight. He was in the wilderness. He was grown in there. Somebody said we had a study yesterday in the kitchen here about all the scriptures surrounding John the Baptist. Wow, he would have been a scary sight to see. Yet people, because of that, went to see him. You know, God has a way to make you and I to look a little bit weird, attractive. So if you look weird, praise the Lord. Okay? See? There's a upside to everything. A prophet like Elijah. Oh, Elijah was quite a prophet. Study the life of Elijah and all that he did. Wow. Like Elijah. And now in the days that Jesus, the Messiah, the one that all the prophecies were about, he's the one speaking this. He's giving Elijah that stamp of approval. Elijah, Moses, all of them. They're all prophets. He's giving John the Baptist here the stamp of approval. Wow, what words like that. Can you imagine? None born to women as great as him. Awesome. But let's read Matthew 11, verse 1 to 6, just before. An interesting part, because by then, John the Baptist, probably in prison already and close to losing his head, but this is said by Jesus, the Messiah, such great words about him. Let's read this, Matthew 11, verse 1 to 6. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Our bulletin verse for today. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Oh, what a report. John is in prison, and he's questioning. Do you question your faith sometimes? Even if the great things you have seen at some point, John would have seen as his baptism of repentance, he was the one voice crying out there, "Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah is coming." And they would hoard in and come in and cry and repent of their sins, and they would get baptized by John, by the thousands in the Jordan. What a powerful prophet this was, working, preparing the way for Jesus, the Messiah, the one and only. What a question. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? I struggled with this one for quite a while. And to some degree, I still do. If you're so anointed, if you're so full of truth, and you're so dedicated to God, you're ready to eat locusts and honey and live in the wilderness, forsake the world, look weird, and preach the gospel like you are, and see the multitudes, why would you say, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" What was there, human doubt going on? Was there something going on that you and I don't understand here? Why would such a man say such a thing? Let us remember that he knew his time was short. There was talk about him losing his life. He didn't know it was going to be beheading. That little girl made sure of that, and the mom. And he would have been in this place in a dungeon cell. And he would have had all the prophecies of the kingdom of God coming to Israel. And he knew, this is his cousin, guys, just 6 months older. young. Yeah, he was 6 months older. And he knew, because remember, even from birth, from inside Elizabeth, from inside the womb, the baby leapt. It even says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit took over. He had a life from before. What Matt is talking about, abortion. Thank God he didn't get aborted. And that's proof, guys, against this thing about abortion that the devil has put out there. Because you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, like he was, leaping for joy. His mother, too, and prophesied, and all kinds of stuff happened. So, from there, all his life filled with God's Spirit. I think John's struggle was with the kingdom that was promised. All he had was the Old Testament scriptures saying that the Messiah would come and set up his kingdom forever. 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 And he wasn't seeing it happen quick enough because he was seeing himself die. Hey, Jesus, I'm in prison here. Set up your kingdom quick. The days are short. I'm about to die. Any one of you want to die? There's a song in French, Tout le monde veut aller au ciel, mais personne ne veut mourir. It's an old song. It means everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. I'm sure he felt like that. See, here's the human part of him. And he was wishing, I'm sure, wanting the kingdom of God. He wanted to see those Romans booted out and put in their place. He had seen the Pharisees, and remember by the Jordan, he said, brood of vipers. He was pretty rough on them too. John, you know, had all the scriptures of the past. And I'm sure he's not the only one. He also had all the apostles and all the people who put their faith in Jesus. And when they saw Jesus on a cross dying, that's not the Jesus they voted for or they thought they'd be getting. They thought they were, and the Romans are the ones who crucified him. Wow, that doesn't make any sense. If you're Jesus, then crucify or get rid of the Romans. You have the power. Jesus had another plan. Aren't you happy that Jesus waited for you and I? Aren't you happy that it didn't end back then? You will forever be so thankful that Jesus did not set up his kingdom back then, because you will, and you're part of the kingdom already. Oh, what grace. He knew about you, Norm, Louise. You said, Sylvia, David, all of us. He knew you by name, and he wanted you in the kingdom the way he would set it up, a forever kingdom. All of us, your names are written there. From the foundation of the world, you've been called. Wow. God's love, God's patience. Ever thank God for his patience? I hope you do. We need to be thankful all the time. John was raised special, yes, but was human like us. Prison and his imminent death tested what he believed in. I think this world is heading to potentially that. I don't know. I won't prophesy that. But if trouble comes much more into our lives, that may be us in a prison or some place where you're wondering, Lord, save us. Bring your kingdom now. Some of us are saying that already, eh? Come soon, Lord Jesus. We are looking for a Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew word, is Messiah, Mashiach. And the Greek word, same word, is Christos, for Christ. Meaning the same, meaning the anointed one. One set apart, anointed for the job, prepared from years and years. Set apart. Are you being set apart? Are you being anointed? As you set yourself apart to serve Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ, more and more will you have the anointing. I saw that in Matt this morning. If he would have said, Moses, knowing that you had the talent, and still say, I'm not ready, you would have not had that anointing this morning, nor would we have it. Do you get that? The calling went out, the setting apart, and I think this is the start of something incredible. And it's in each one of you and I. Don't be afraid to be set apart. Don't run towards that setting apart. Look for that anointing, that setting apart for you and I. Jesus wants to baptize us and fill us and use us mightily. The anointed one, set apart. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. Some of the prophecies about Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. What God says, it's going to happen. Because we don't see the actual kingdom set up right now, and all the bad guys gone. It's still coming, because the word of the Lord will come to pass. These prophecies, Isaiah, and the great prophet here, spoke about the child is born. They were looking for, the wise men looked for this child, didn't they? Wow, those pagans looking for the Messiah. Incredible. Many prophecies, and just I'll name you a couple here. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 1. Messiah would be from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49, 10. The Jews would have known this. Those were their scriptures. Messiah would present himself by riding on a donkey, Zechariah 9, 9. Messiah would be tortured to death, the whole of Psalm 22. Messiah would arrive before the destruction of the second temple, Daniel 9, 24 to 27. They had lots of information about him, yet they missed him. Isn't that weird? So much information, hundreds of it. Prophecies could have painted a picture of him, practically. They knew where he would be born. There's so many of the Messiah's life that would be characterized by his suffering, written in prophecy and scripture. His silence at his arrest and trial was even prophesied. His lineage, his birthplace, the time when he would come, his lifestyle. Jesus matched the messianic expectations of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, to a T. The record of this fulfillment is found in the pages of the New Testament that you and I enjoy. To hear the stories that match up. Aren't you thankful that you got the Old Testament prophecies and you got the fulfillment in the New Testament? And it's written in one book? Jewish people only have the Old Testament. They're still waiting for the promised Messiah, many of them. Many Jews have come to Christ. Many Jews have come to Christ, and many more will come to Christ as they believe the New Testament. As they believe the story that Jesus himself said, I am he, the promised Messiah. When that woman asked, should we, you know, where is he that we could worship him? He says, I am. He said it. I am the Messiah. She was looking for him. So many scriptures. The fulfillment is in the days that we live in, and many others. Then why did most miss his first coming? I have to ask that question because many are missing the second coming. Okay? You have family members, you have co-workers that are missing out. They will miss out on the second coming of Christ, meaning that they, well, all will see the second coming of Christ. You can't miss it, but they'll miss out on being with him. I'd rather come with him than against him. And that's where this is all heading. First century Jews were looking for a political savior, someone that would come and help them. From JewsForJesus.org, an article I found, at the time of Jesus, the messianic hope had become greatly politicized in the minds of the people. They were seeking deliverance from the tyranny of Rome. Although the scripture spoke both of the sufferings and the victories of the Messiah, the victorious aspect had become uppermost in the minds of the common people because of Roman domination. This lopsided view of the Messiah had stuck with Jewish people, and the politicization of the messianic hope has continued to this day. You can check that out. It's online, amongst the Jewish online stuff. They can't wait to build a temple to have their Messiah come to be politically free and rulers of the world. Wow. Well, they have a surprise coming. Their hope of a political rather than a spiritual Messiah prevails in most Jewish people to this day. Jesus said exactly that, predicted this in John chapter 5, verse 31 to 47. He says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth," John the Baptist again. "Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp," talking about John the Baptist, "and you are willing for a time to rejoice in this light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." Just by the works, people should have accepted and known this is the Christ. This is the Messiah, the Anointed One, God himself come to earth. But they missed it. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Oh, Jesus, you know, when he was coming on that hill looking at Jerusalem and he started to weep, the only place Jesus wept, right? Oh, he was just Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If only you knew the day that you are in. What was available to them? Their Messiah had come and they did not recognize. The Messiah is coming back, brothers and sisters in Christ, and many will not realize it. Or they don't even sense his coming back. They don't even look for his coming back. Are you looking for his coming back? I hope you are. I hope you are. There's a blessing to all those who look for his appearing. That's scriptural. Check it out. Many false teachers, I'm going to quickly go into this here, are in the day and age that we are. Many are teaching us to look for a Messiah. Not Jesus, but a Savior for the world's problems. Are there problems in the world? There seemed to be getting more and more. Now it's two hurricanes at a time. One's not enough. Many more things are happening. Many things can happen quickly. We saw that this spring. We're going to see it this fall. And many more can happen. The world is going to cry out for a savior because of the troubles in the world. No different than the Jews who were under the thumb of the Romans and the troubles of the day. But it's increasing to gather the whole world to worship at another one. Remember what John said? Are you the one, or do we look for another? That's why I felt I needed to speak on the one, but also the other. People in this world are more prepared for the other than the one. I see empty seats here. It's not just COVID that caused this. It's because of the other. There's a spirit at work, blinding and closing and stopping them from being right here, worshiping with Matt and all of us, the one and only Jesus Christ. It's so prevalent. You go tell someone about Jesus and watch the reaction. It'll be pretty quick. You'll see who they are following. There's a spirit at work. It's not getting easier to preach. It may mean your life. I love what I read earlier. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Anyone offended sometimes? That when you tell them that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that offense is getting greater and greater. Many wonder if Jesus is the Savior, even amongst Christian churches. There are churches shutting down all across North America. Not because just of COVID, but because they don't follow Jesus. They're still looking for a Savior, but they haven't found him in church. The day we don't present Jesus Christ, lock the doors, or find a different church, I tell you that. A church that preaches about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Many have come as false Jesuses, false Christs. Many more will come. There is a need for a Savior. We need the Savior. But it has to be Jesus. The people of the world are more ready for Antichrist than Jesus Christ. More and more, we're seeing people groomed and ready to follow the Antichrist. Through media, the movies, the news, the politics, the natural disasters, everything is compounding. COVID. Antichrist at work. Spirit of Antichrist at work. Jesus warned in Matthew 24, verse 23 to 27. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, we have been warned of this day that we are living in right now. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 9 to 12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Here's the reason. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Not only are the Antichrist at work, deceiving with signs, lying, wonders, and all. And there are some that will come up and it will be very convincing. There is political leaders that will do incredible things, guys, out there with the troubles that we have. First, you have to have the trouble in order to have a solution. Be careful. Stuff is happening right now, and it's not just coincidence. This is being happening before our eyes. Unrighteous deception among those who perish. Did not love the truth. Had pleasure in sin. Do you love the truth? Do you hunger for the truth? For God's truth? In the Word of God? His voice speaking to you? It's going to be so crucial. Get hungry, guys. Get hungry, guys. Feed from the right source. This will save you many troubles. And you will be a great and mighty witness in the days that are coming up. September, October, November, December. Feed upon the truth. If you've been lazy, stop being lazy. Get into God's Word. I'm going to be a little bit more direct here. Because you can't afford to be lazy. We need to be strong. We need to dig in and search the truth. We're going to do our best to present it, but you must do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every day, dig into the Word. Prayerfully receive that which God is going to help you through the days coming. Don't be scared of revelation. Don't be scared of these things. You need it more than ever because revelation is happening right now. It's being put out on the news everywhere. I will also send out a warning because Jesus said it first. There will be many false Christs, false prophets. Do not listen to the liars. Do not listen to lies. Discern. Where will you find the discernment? Through, if you are in the Word of God, you will know this is a lie. Whether it came via news channel or this pulpit, you will know. And it'll save you the days that are coming. And it'll save those around you because you then become that person. Say, hey, whoa back. When you see someone running with a teaching or something that is against Scripture, you're the one to say, hey, hold back. This is what the Word of God says. You become those instruments to keep the doctrine of God, which saves people. The truth will set you free, you and others who hear. Accept the real Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's our message, really, in our day. The world's looking for some help somewhere, the next paycheck or whatever. It's going to get worse. But we're to direct them to Jesus Christ, who can feed you, who can take care of you, and he will bring you to heaven one day. Follow him and obey his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Here's some homework for you. Read John chapter 10, all about my sheep hear my voice and follow. It's an important scripture for these days. John chapter 10, homework. And then finally, let everyone know Jesus is both Lord and Savior by your words and your actions. The most powerful witness to the world is our transformed lives. And telling others who changed you, Jesus. The more you change into the image of Christ, the more attractive you are. Man, I'll pick on you again. You became cuter today. Oh, sorry, you were cute before. She told me to say that. And but cuter in Christ, more gorgeous, more precious, more incredible. That's you and I. We'll have the praise and worship come up and we'll close. Now, I'd like you all to stand because we'll close at this in our word of prayer together that we, you know, all the spots and blemishes and all those failures and all those doubts of the times we're in and what's going on, and some people are, you know, worried and panicking, and that's all signs that we need to trust God today and every day. That we need to be transformed in the inner man and be filled with His Holy Spirit, His power. You will need the power of God to go through tomorrow. For those who've had a lost loved one, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that'll hold you up and is holding you up. And we keep praying for them, right? It's all part of the Spirit of God at work. Therefore, let's pray in closing. Father, I pray for all of us, Lord. All of us are awaiting Your soon coming. We see this world running after another one, rejecting You. But Lord, I know there's still some. We're to go in the highways and the byways. There's still some out there who are to come. The banqueting table, there's a couple spots reserved yet. Therefore, Lord, we don't know who it is. Use us, each one of us, with boldness and power to go out and tell others Jesus is the way. Get ready. The coming of the Lord is soon. I think a lot of people are knowing something's coming, but we need to tell them it's Jesus that's coming. Lord, help us, empower us, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Help us to get cuter, to be ready for Your coming. Use us mightily. Bless us now as we worship You in Jesus' name.